All right, take your Bible, please, and turn over to the book of Matthew. If you're a guest with us today, we've been going through the miracles of Jesus Christ. We started going through the book of Mark and just considering the life of Jesus Christ, verse by verse throughout the book of Mark, considering the life of Christ. And we've moved on to specifically dealing with the miracles of Jesus Christ and what those miracles teach us or what they can teach us concerning Him. And we have really focused in on many times on His power over nature, His power over creation, His power over the elements and things like that to teach us about His character, the kind of a God that He really is, that He is not only all powerful but He's merciful and gracious and loving and kind, and all of those things are things that are brought out through the miracles of Jesus Christ. And so we continue with that series this morning, and we look in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse 22 down through verse 33, and consider this next miracle that we find here of Jesus walking on water. And so let's begin reading in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto His disciples, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Now we see in this context here that Jesus comes to His disciples walking on water, something that is impossible, humanly speaking, to do. And we could take this passage, and I suppose I could preach this passage any number of ways, many different ways, focusing in on different aspects of it and different subjects and so on. For example, you know, we could preach this passage concerning Christ's power, that He walked on water, that He calmed the seas, He has power over nature. Brother Hickman in the Sunday school hour last week did a fine job covering this passage of Scripture and this miracle through our Sunday school lessons, and brought out that very significant principle or point in that Sunday school lesson. We could also preach this passage on the significance of Christ walking on stormy seas, for example, demonstrating how God is always above the circumstances. And no matter what stormy seas come into your life, God is always above them. We could preach it that way as well. We could focus on a number of different things that are brought out in this passage this morning. But I want to take a little bit different approach this morning to this story and make some applications to the human side of things. And we're going to see and look at Peter this morning, and because he is part of this miracle, and it was a miracle that Jesus performed, allowing him to walk on water himself. We're going to look at Peter, but from a little bit different perspective or angle than that you might think. And we're going to make some spiritual applications along the way. And the title of the message this morning is a supernatural walk. And we're going to look at the human side of things here. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to is in verse 28, all right? Look with me in verse 28. "And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. The first thing I want you to note here is a very bold request that was made by Peter. So here in the context, Jesus is walking on water to his disciples. All right, they're out there in the sea. Now, I want you to picture, imagine the story, the setting with me, okay? Here, Jesus sends his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He goes up into a mountain to pray, and there he's alone. And the Bible says that he saw his disciples rowing and toiling because the wind was contrary. Now, I don't know how far away Jesus was, but I would imagine that he was far enough away so that the human eye couldn't really necessarily make out what was going on. I think the fact that he saw them indicates that Jesus is omniscient. He knows what's going on, all right? But the Bible says that they were out there rowing. They were toiling. That word is a Greek word that literally means torture, all right? So here you can imagine the storm is contrary. Here they are just rowing and rowing. I know exactly what that feels like. I feel tortured all the time when I'm rowing in CrossFit. Go to the gym and we're out there on that rower, and I just feel tortured. That's what the word literally means, is torture. And here they are fighting for probably their life. And the Bible says that the ship was tossed. Now, this wasn't just a little 14-foot lund out there across the Sea of Galilee. This was a fishing boat. And the Bible calls it a ship. And if you note the words in the scriptures here, when Peter came down out of the ship, I mean, it wasn't just a small boat. And we've talked in weeks past about the freak storms that were so common that would come up on the Sea of Galilee. And the huge waves that would instantly arise because of its situation and so on. And so here they are out there again, caught in the middle in this storm. And they're rowing, probably for their life. They're very fearful, no doubt, of what's happening. And the sea is boisterous, the Bible says. So you picturing this with me here? You got this, you're imagining this in your mind? And so here comes Jesus walking on the sea to his disciples. And here's Peter who says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out there and walk on water." Whoa, wait a second. Did I hear you right, Peter? You asked the Lord to let you walk on water? Yeah, because that's a common thing. Everybody does it, right? No, it was a bold request. It was something, listen, it was something that was humanly impossible to do. Are you with me? What in the world are you thinking, Peter? That's probably what the other disciples are saying. They probably have never heard somebody ask that request before. Peter was literally asking Jesus to allow him to do something that was physically impossible to do. That's a pretty bold request, wouldn't you say? What do you think was the motivation behind Peter's request? Do you think it was pride on Peter's part? I'm going to show you guys up. Look what I can do. No, I don't think so. I think, and this is me thinking here, but the Bible doesn't exactly say what his motivation was. But I think that Peter had such a love for the Lord that he wanted to be where Jesus was. You know, we give Peter a bad rap sometimes. Because he was foolish, and he opened his big mouth at times, didn't he? And he said stupid stuff, like we all do. But one thing you cannot deny is that Peter had a passion for Jesus. Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart, and yeah, he was foolish, and yeah, he did some dumb things, but you would never doubt that Peter loved Jesus. He was passionate for the Lord. Remember when the soldiers came to take Jesus away. And Peter rips out his sword and he's gonna defend Jesus to the death. Remember when Jesus said to him, "You're all going to forsake me." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, not so." Yeah, that was a dumb thing to say. But he was motivated, I'm sure, by the fact that he loved the Lord with all of his heart. I don't think it was necessarily pride that was the motivation for Peter to make this request. He wanted to be with Christ. And the fact of the matter was, none of the other disciples made this request. And none of the other disciples went with him. And as foolish as he was at times, he cannot deny that he had a passion for Christ. But let me make this application. As saints of God, this message this morning is geared more toward church members, saints of God, those of you who know that you're saved. As saints of God, would your love for the Lord and your desire for Christ compel you or cause you to make these kinds of requests of God? Are you with me here? I love the Lord with all of my heart. I want to be where He is. I know that He is the God of all power. I know that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I want to glorify Him. God, do something awesome and great that I can bring glory to Your name. Even the impossible. Would your love for the Lord compel you to make that kind of a request? Do we seek the privilege of walking where Jesus walks? Even when human wisdom and fleshly reason can't find a footing? Are you here this morning? Are you with me? I think a lot of times people get hung up on things that our minds just don't seem to grab a hold of, that it's possible. Are you with me? We get hung up on, oh, that's not really a possible thing. And so we don't ever ask for and would never attempt something that is humanly impossible. Now, I'm not talking about walking on water. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about things like, for example, we give to the Lord, and we give to missions, and we support missionaries, and we only have a certain amount of dollars that we can actually, you know, that are our resources that come in every month and so on. But because of our love for the Lord, would we pray and say, Lord, I want to glorify You. I want to do more for You. I'm limited in my resources, but I know that You're powerful. Father, would You provide for me so that I could give twice what I give now to support missionaries? That doesn't seem possible. But Lord, if it brings glory to You, would You allow it? Would we pray for God to add 10 new families to this church in this next year? Whether it's people being saved and baptized and discipled and added to the church, or whether it's people coming in from somewhere else. God, we want to glorify You. We want You to be magnified in this place. Would You do something like this if it brings You glory? Well, that's impossible. That doesn't seem like that's possible to happen. We would never think of it. Well, it's just not possible for me to get time off and have the resources to go on a missions trip in October. And so I wouldn't even think of asking for it or asking the Lord to provide for it. Are you with me here? A bold request that Peter makes here. Something impossible. And yet he says, Lord, bid me come. If it's really You, bid me come. Here's Peter asking to walk on water. Think of this. Asking to walk on water. Something humanly, physically impossible. But again, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. We say we believe that, don't we? We say we believe that. Then why don't we test it? If He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could even ask or think. We would shrink from a prayer like that, that asks the impossible. Why? Most often, here's the reason why. Because we want to stay safe in our ship. We want to stay where it's comfortable. We want to stay in the arena of comfort that we've made for ourselves. This is home. This is all I've ever known. And so this is where I found security. And this is where I want to stay. Because it's safe. And we wouldn't dream of making such a bold request. We wouldn't think of asking such a bold, impossible thing, even though we say that He's the God of the impossible. Because we get hung up in this realm of my mind can't conceive or doesn't grasp that that's really possible. But here's Peter, who says, Lord, if it's really You, bid me come to walk out here on this water. What is that going to require? Yeah. What's that going to require? Well, we see verse 28 that gives us, we're talking about a supernatural walk. That's what we're talking about here in the Christian life, a supernatural walk. Peter, first of all, makes this bold request, but verse 29, look with me there, verse 29 shows us Christ's invitation. So verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. Here's Christ's invitation. Here, now, Peter opens up his big mouth and says, Lord, bid me come and walk on the water. And Jesus says, okay. Now the door is open to test His faith. Are you with me? Here the door is open now to test His faith. He was invited to walk where none but the feet of faith dare go. Think about this and grab hold of this. He was invited to go where Jesus was, but it was a place that only the feet of faith could go. Not human reason or understanding, not human props and supports, but only the feet of faith. This is what the Christian life is supposed to be about, though. Because Hebrews 11 in verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Does that mean then that if we're not living by faith in the Christian life, that we're not bringing glory to God, that we're not pleasing to the Lord? That's exactly what it means. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. The Christian life is to be lived by faith. It begins in faith at the moment of salvation. It begins in faith and it ends in faith. We have the hope of eternal life. I believe this. But what about the middle? It's all to be about faith. The whole of the Christian life is to be about faith. And without it, it's impossible to please the Lord. The Christian life is definitely to be lived this way. You know what? Christ did not deny Peter an opportunity to test his faith and the opportunity to see the mighty power of God. But I believe that we have that same invitation today, my friend. The invitation to come. The invitation to walk with Christ out on the deep, as it were. Asking to do the seemingly impossible. Listen, I've mentioned to you many times before, and I will continue to mention it to you again. As a church, we need to be asking God to open up a door for us to get the gospel out into native villages. We are commanded in the Scriptures to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are commanded to carry that gospel light. There is a mission field right there at our doorstep. How is that going to happen? Who's going to go? How's it going to be done? It's not as simple as just driving down the road and handing out some gospel tracts. Are you with me here? It's got to be steps of faith. Willing to step out onto the deep. Willing to let the Lord show His power and show His might. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know God wants us to do it because He's already commanded us in His Word. Would we even pray for such a thing? Would you even be willing to pray, to ask God to maybe use you in a ministry like that? Well, I just don't see how that could be possible. Because here's home, and here's where I found security, and here's where I know is safe, and I don't want to step out of the ship. But the Lord gives us that invitation. I want to show you my power. I want to show you what I can do. But only the feet of faith can go here. And the other disciples, they were clinging to the side of the boat. But Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And then he was willing to actually take the step after that. We'll get to that in a little bit here. But the truth was that the Lord didn't deny Peter that opportunity. Jesus didn't say, no, Peter, it's not safe for you to walk out here. He didn't say that. He said, okay, come on. He's going to give him a chance to test his faith. Our walk should be a supernatural one in this Christian life. One that is lived by faith. And listen, you know, when we pray for things and ask God to open up a door and do things like taking the gospel to the natives, listen, I'm not talking about a once or one or two times to go somewhere and minister. I'm talking about a thriving ministry that reaches deep into the heart of that culture. That culture is so broken down because of drugs and alcohol. It's so oppressed because of the vices of this world. And it just continually drags that culture down. And the only thing that will break them from the bondage of their sin is the gospel. But they need someone to take it to them. It's not something, listen, that we can, as a church, it's not something that we can leave to another church or to another group. We, as the Lord's church, have been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we're just not really big enough. We just don't have enough resources. We just don't have enough manpower. Those are all excuses to stay right here at home where it's safe. It doesn't require us to live by faith. The Lord invited Peter to come. Our walk, our life, needs to be lived by faith. We look at verse 29 again. Not only do we see Christ's invitation, but in verse 29, we see a successful venture. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. Here's a successful venture. The seemingly impossible, listen, it can be accomplished through simple faith in the Word of Christ. Jesus said, come. Peter was not relying on his own ability to walk on water. He was relying on the power of Christ. Listen, the life of faith, understand this, Peter got down out of this ship and started walking on water. The life of faith, it requires, listen, it requires the abandonment of every source of earthly confidence. Let it sink in. We need to get out of the ship of self and on to trusting Jesus Christ at His Word. Listen, how would that have worked for Peter to say, okay, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. All right, Peter, come on. All right, I'm getting down, Lord. Here I come. Watch this. Here I come. I'm getting down out of the ship. All right, Lord, I'm ready. Here's my ship, okay? Here I come. I'm ready, Lord. I'm coming. Yep, I'm on my way. Here I am, Lord. Yep. Okay, here we go. When does the faith actually start? And when does the miracle actually happen? Not until His hands are off of that boat. Oh, He could have been, here's the water. He could have been, woo, I'm walking on water now, Lord. Look at this. He could have been doing all that. And it still wouldn't have been living by faith. Getting his feet wet. But he's not letting go of the ship. The life of faith implies a complete abandonment of every earthly source of confidence. You got to get out of the ship of self and on to trusting Christ. My little girl, Jovi, she always says, Daddy, Daddy, can I have just one jump? And I know what that means, because we've done this hundreds of times probably. Put her up on the counter in the kitchen, and she loves to just jump off of that counter into Daddy's arms. And so she'll be, Daddy, Daddy, can I have one jump? And the reason she says one jump is because we've done it so many times, and we do it over and over and over again, so sometimes I get really tired. And I know if we start this jumping thing, it's going to go on and on and on. For however long. And so sometimes I'm like, okay, Jovi, just one jump. Because I don't want to tell her no. I say, so one jump. And she's like, okay, one jump. And so I'll put her up on the counter, and she'll stand there, and she'll be like, you're going to catch me, right? Yes, I'm going to catch you. You're sure you're going to catch me, right? Yes, I'm going to catch you, honey. Have I ever dropped you? No. Then I'll catch you this time too. Okay. Whoa! She goes right off the counter. But see, when she knows that I'm going to catch her, and she trusts me that I'm going to catch her, now she says, Daddy, back up a little bit. You're too close. Oh, okay. How about this far? No, Daddy, that's a little too far. Okay, how about here? Okay, all right. You're going to catch me, right? Yes, honey, I'm going to catch you. You're sure you're going to catch me, right? Yes, I'll always catch you. Boom! There she goes, right off the countertop. And the more that we do this, the more confident she gets. And the more she says, Daddy, back up a little farther. Till I'm like almost across the kitchen on the other side, standing by the other counter. And she'll just take a flying leap and she just dives out, knowing that her daddy's going to catch her. What is the proof that she believes me? What's the proof? She actually jumps. She leaves the place of safety and flies through the air. Peter's proof that he believed the Lord Jesus Christ was that he let go of that boat and he started walking. It was a successful venture. And let me say this to you. Jesus Christ is not fully trusted until both hands are off of every earthly prop and support. We can make this application when it comes to salvation as well. There are people who test this thing called salvation. They're around God's people. And they see the joy, and they see the happiness, and they see fulfillment, and they're curious about this. And maybe it's something that they even want for themselves in their own life, but they're not willing to let go of the flesh. They're not willing to let go of the earthly props and fully trust the Lord and believe on Jesus Christ. we can make the application in the Christian life. Something the Lord may want to do to use us to serve Him. But we are not willing to get out of our arena of safety. This thing that we've made for ourselves. I wouldn't dream of going somewhere else. I wouldn't dream of doing something else because it makes me uncomfortable and I'm not sure what's on the other side. So I'm just going to hang on to the ship. When I was a kid, we'd go on trips. And I always want my parents to go and stay in a motel that had a pool, right? Because if we were staying in a motel, that means I got to go swimming. And so I'd always want them to do that. But sometimes we'd go to a place and the pool wasn't just a 3 or 4 foot pool. It actually had some deep water. I was afraid of the deep water because I couldn't swim. I wasn't confident. I was a little kid. I can swim now. But here's what I would used to do. I'd get into that pool and I want to show my mom how brave I was, right? And so I'd get on the edge of the pool like this and I'd work my way all the way around the pool, all the way into the deep end while hanging on to the side of the pool. And I'd get all the way over into the deep water and say, "Hey, Mom, look at me. I'm in the deep end." "Oh, good job. That takes some talent hanging on to the side of the pool the whole time." But I think so often that's what it is in the Christian life. We look at the things that we're doing for God and we say, and you know, we got these ministries that we're serving in, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing all of these things, and we say, "Lord, we're walking by faith. Lord, we're really serving you. Look at us, we're in the deep end." But we're not really walking a supernatural walk. We're not really stepping out by faith into the deep and sticking the neck out. Understand what I mean by that, what I'm saying? Not that all the things that we're doing are wrong. I'm not saying that. But so often people like to live in the comfort zone and say, "See, Lord, look what I'm doing for you." But never willing to step out with hands off the side of the pool and to trust the Lord. Jesus Christ is not fully trusted until both hands are off all the earthly props. Verse 30, we get down to verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." Here we find a momentary failure. A momentary failure. Perhaps, I don't know what Peter was thinking. He starts this walk of faith. He lets go of the ship. He starts to walk on the water. But then for some reason, he gets his eyes off the Lord. And he starts looking around and he saw that the seas were boisterous. "Hey, I'm really in it now." It was a momentary failure. Maybe he expected the waves to cease once he responded in faith. I don't know. But when he got his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. Because the fact is, and note this, without Christ and without our eyes firmly fixed on Him, the seemingly impossible is impossible. Our eyes have to be stayed on the Lord. But verse 30 shows us also an earnest prayer. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" He quickly, very quickly, got his eyes back on the Lord in verse 30. And then look at verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." Now, I don't know how far apart Jesus and Peter were at this moment. But here's Peter walking on the water, okay? And he gets his eyes off of Jesus and starts looking around at all the waves, and boom, immediately he begins to sink. Now, if he was close enough to Jesus, you know, like say me to Doug, if he was like this far away from Jesus, he would have just reached out and grabbed him. I don't get the impression that he was that close. I get the impression that there was still quite a bit of difference between Jesus and Peter, right? And the moment that Peter says, "Lord, save me," boom, immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. Was this another miracle right here? Possibly. He possibly could have, you know, it could have been from here to the back of the auditorium away. And Peter says, "Lord, save me." As he said, boom, Jesus is there to grab hold of him. Peter's prayer was directed in the right direction, wasn't it? It wasn't back to some earthly prop. It wasn't back to the ship. He had already left the ship. He had no one to cry out to but the Lord. But he was smart enough to know that that's the direction his prayer needed to go. Sometimes when we take a step of faith, we get away from those earthly props. There's not any going back. We're in it now. And our faith is tested again, right? But I want you to note these words, all right? Immediately, the Lord was there to lift him back up. But notice what Jesus says to Peter right after this in verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore or why did you doubt?" Now, in our human reasoning and thinking, that could be offensive. What do you mean, little faith? I just did something that was impossible. I just trusted the Lord and I just walked on water. I trusted you, Lord, to do this. None of the other disciples got on the water and walked. They were still clinging to the side of the boat. Was Peter's faith really small? Was it really very little? O thou of little faith. I personally don't, in my flesh, don't think that his faith was small, and yet Jesus said it was. Who's right? Jesus is right. He said, O thou of little faith. And here's where I want to spend the rest of our time this morning in conclusion of this message. I want to make the applications, really the whole point of this message. I heard one preacher, he would always say when he's making the final application, here's where the rubber meets the road. That's what I'm going to do right now. Pull all this together, where the rubber meets the road. What do we see here in verse 31? We saw a bold request. Peter wanted to do the impossible, trusting in the Lord. We saw Christ's invitation. He said, come on, test your faith. We see that he succeeded in his venture. Yeah, there was a momentary failure, but his eyes got back on the Lord. But here we see in verse 31, a gentle rebuke. A gentle rebuke. Why would Jesus say something like this to Peter? He just asked the impossible and accomplished the impossible through Christ. His faith wasn't small compared to the other disciples. And yet Jesus still says that it was. Here was fierce waves and winds, and he walked on water. And yet Jesus said his faith was small. Why? Why would Jesus say that to Peter? I think the answer is, and the reason is because Jesus expected more even than that out of Peter. If you study the Gospels, over and over again, you find that Jesus says the same kind of thing to his disciples. O ye of little faith, or O ye of no faith, he says many times to the disciples, these same kinds of things. And why would he say these things? Well, and the reason is, the answer is, because they soon forgot the miracles that Jesus performed prior to these things. Right before this, we saw Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it wasn't just 5,000, it was women and children besides. Now, if every man had a wife, let's just assume not everyone did, okay? But if everyone did, and there were 5,000 men, that means that there's one woman to a man, that's 10,000 people. And let's just say that everybody had one kid. That's another 5,000 that's being added. That's 15. But if they had two, it could have been 20,000 people. We don't know the exact number, but we know it was more than 5,000. And it was with five loaves and two fishes. And remember, just in this chapter, right before this event, right here, is when Jesus performed that miracle. And the disciples kept running back to Jesus, and Jesus would give them more, as much as they would. And they would go out, and they would feed all of these people. And there were 12 baskets full left over. One for each of the disciples. See, God can do anything. That happened right before this. So often that was the case. The Lord would do an amazing thing, and they would soon forget the miracles that he performed. Back in Matthew chapter 8, the disciples were in a different storm out on the sea. And what happened then? Jesus calmed the sea, and the Bible says there was a great calm, and they were like, kunk, with their jaw. What manner of man is this? Same scenario, same situation, out on a stormy sea. These are the things that they experienced, but they soon forgot. Matthew chapter 8 is full of miracles, miracle after miracle after miracle that Jesus performed, and they still doubted. That's why Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Let me make this application and conclusion here. Is not Christ saying the same thing to us today, "Oh, ye of little faith," because he expects more out of us? I wonder, saint of God, I wonder if we operate on the premise of faith, but really we're still hanging on to the side of the ship, as it were. We could look at what we're doing for the Lord in the name of faith, giving to missions. I mentioned it before, by faith. But would we dare ask the Lord to provide for us that we could give twice what we give now to support missionaries? What about our soul winning? Stepping out by faith and, Lord, give us souls, give us families. Lord, give me somebody. Listen, Lord, give me somebody I can lead to Christ this year. Would you dare ask that? Lord, grow our church. Lord, give us souls that come to know the Lord so that we're busting out at the seams in this place, because the work of the Lord is being accomplished. Adding new families. Oh, those things are impossible. It's exactly what I'm talking about. We need to reevaluate our life, our situation. Do we really believe God is the God of the impossible? Do we really believe that? If so, then why don't we test it and prove it? Is our faith growing? Is it continually moving forward? Is it continually growing? Are we like Jovi jumping off the counter? Okay, back up a little bit, Dad. Is our faith in the Lord growing like that? Okay, Lord, what else do you want to do? A little bit harder, but Lord, I know you're able if it brings you glory. Are we willing to let go of the side of the ship and get out into the deep where we really have to trust God? There are no earthly props. Are we willing to ask of him the seemingly impossible and believe that he'll accomplish it for his glory? All I'm saying is, I think the Lord expects more of us than what we give, than what we demonstrate. Even asking the impossible, would God still say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? Because I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 32, and I'll close up with these scriptures here. Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Now, the verse starts with the fact that God created the heavens and the earth and the stars. He spoke a word, and all of the universe came into existence. Oh, I believe that. I believe God created the heavens and the earth, that He spoke a word. He has that kind of power. I believe that. But there's nothing too hard for Him. And yet we'll shrink in fear or back away from truly living and stepping out by faith, thinking that, oh, that's impossible. It's impossible. God can't save this person. That person's heart is too hard. And we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening at all. And I get discouraged and I get defeated, and I say, what's the use? He's the same God who created the heavens and the earth. And there's nothing too hard for Him, even a hard heart. Look at verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God doesn't doubt Himself. God doesn't doubt His power. I'm the Lord. Look in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, look in verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do we really believe this? We say we do. But who's willing to step out onto the waves and try? Are you with me? Who's willing to step out on the waves and try? The Christian life is to be a life lived by faith. Hands off the earthly props, out onto the deep. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Here I'm faced with this major decision. I don't know exactly what to do. Lord, I need your guidance. And I feel compelled, like the Lord would open the door to do this, but boy, that doesn't seem like that could possibly happen. I think I'll probably go this way instead. So often that's holding on to the side of the ship. Why don't we test the Lord? Why don't we let our faith grow? Why don't we have that bold kind of request and then listen to the Lord say, come, and put the faith to the test. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what decisions you've got today. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know that God wants us to live by faith. Are you going to trust Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, accomplish Your purpose in this invitation time. And I don't know how You would speak to hearts. Lord, I believe this is what You'd have for us today. I pray that we'd have a heart to do business with God today. In Jesus' name, amen.